We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome back to In the Trenches, coming to you from inside Schembechler Hall in the studio of Champions. Michigan fresh off a 42-25 victory, which they showed a little bit of character in the second half. Illinois came back, made it 28-25, and Michigan found a way to make a few plays, put a drive together, and come away with that 42-25 victory. We'll talk about that, review it just a little bit as we look ahead to the trip to Happy Valley and the Penn State Nittany Lions. Today, we've got Hassan Haskins, running back, leading rusher last week, as well as Mike Dana. Excited to have both of those guys, and my partner Brian Bush will be back in just a few moments on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
Do what you coach to do. Like, we don't need no superhuman effort.
I think it's going to be a good fight against Penn State, you know, so looking forward to just doing my job.
So we got to come in here and just play our game, you know. Whether it's offense and defense, we just got to play our best football.
Today is the day that Michigan reclaims dominance in the Big Ten East.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
We'll have 7 from 77 in just a minute, but before we get there, I want to thank our friends at SNR Event Rental. Are you looking for tents, tables, chairs, staging, and more for an upcoming event? Look no further than SNR Event Rental. SNR provides top-of-the-line service and customer satisfaction. You might have already seen SNR's work at Art Beats and Eats, Detroit Tigers Tiger Fest, or even Michigan football tailgates. With competitive pricing and well-maintained equipment, SNR is sure to make your next event a big success. If you're interested in learning more, visit sreventrental.com or call 248-655-6020. Let's bring in Brian Bush, my partner on In the Trenches, for some 7 from 77.
Hello, John. How we doing?
I couldn't be more excited, and I have to share something with our fans before we get going. This week will be the initial road trip for Brian Bush and John Jansen. We will hook up the Jansen Mobile. We will pile in at 10 o'clock on Friday morning, head east to Happy Valley, and we will get to spend some quality time. I am so looking forward to 6 hours in a car with one Brian Bush.
I can't wait. I was a little surprised when you said, do you have any snacks that you want to bring along or you want us to get you? And I just said, yes. Like, you asked what kind, and I say yes, because I will do pretty much whatever you provide, my friend. I'm looking forward to it. I feel bad for your wife because she's going to have to put up with us for 6 hours.
Hey, trust me, she will not take anything from either of us, so I hope you're ready. And I hope you're ready for bacon strips, bacon bites, bacon jerky. It's a heavy dose of bacon for 6 hours. Maybe a Diet Coke just to, you know, say we're watching our calories.
I'm sure those who listen to this podcast religiously are shocked that that's what we're going to be eating. Speaking of Penn State, John, this is the 7 from 77 Penn State edition. This is the entire, we're not going to get into Illinois. We're breaking down Michigan and Penn State. First things first, John, we discussed your impressions of Michigan against Illinois. How about the Wolverines' opponent coming up this weekend from their effort last week? It was an impressive grinded out win over Iowa in a game that I think looked kind of similar to Michigan's matchup with Iowa.
It is. When you think about this Penn State team, obviously Sean Clifford's a sophomore quarterback. You have to start thinking about how young they are. And if you think about their youth, that's something that Michigan can take advantage of. Offensively, Sean Clifford, who's a sophomore, Noah Kane, who's a freshman, true freshman, their running back. Sean Clifford is their second leading rusher as well. Then you start to go to their wide receivers. KJ Hamler is a sophomore. Micah Parsons, their leading tackler on defense, is a sophomore. So they've got a lot of talent, but they also have a lot of young talent, and I think that's something that Michigan could take advantage of. And then you look at what they did last week against the Iowa Hawkeyes. You mentioned it. It was a grinded out victory. 294 yards of offense. They only got 117 through the air. They played in very similar conditions to what Michigan did when they were down in Champaign. It was windy, and it wasn't conducive to throwing the ball around. Sean Clifford can do that, but when you look at their rushing attack, and this is where I want to focus this podcast on, is in the youth that Penn State has, whether it's on the offensive line, in the backfield. They have, you know, their yardage has come on big plays. And that's something that Don Brown has made it a major point of emphasis of not allowing this football season. Journey Brown, one of their running backs, had an 85-yard run against Pitt. They don't have a great, if you take out their big explosive plays, which is, you know, three or four of them, and you don't allow that to happen, their yards per rush go down to right around 3 yards per rush. And that is something that Michigan can take advantage of. Michigan has been very good in the last 3 weeks of not allowing teams to rush the football. Michigan has yielded less than 65 yards rushing in three straight games. And that includes the Iowa game, which we know Iowa is a grinded out running, rushing the football type of team. So I like the advantage that Michigan has. I also like the fact that we have a more senior team than Penn State has.
Number two on today's 7 from 77, you alluded to some of their offensive pieces here, but give us the full scouting report. They're ninth nationally in points per game at 42, but again, they really hadn't played a whole lot of a tough schedule until this past week against Iowa. And really their focal point in the fourth quarter was Noah Kane, and he was gritty, but in the fourth quarter, they gave it to him 15 times. He came up with 66 yards. If Michigan can hold that down and most of their plays are coming from the ground and it's only about four and a half yards a carry, I think Michigan can trim that. Give us the look at the offense for Penn State.
Well, it all revolves around Sean Clifford, and the sophomore quarterback has been very effective through the air, not as much last week, but when you look at his numbers and you look at what he's been able to do over the course of his first season, right now he's throwing the ball at about a 65% completion rate. He is a dual threat quarterback. And what worries me about that is we play a lot of man coverage. And we saw it last week against Illinois. When you play man coverage, and we've seen it throughout the course of when Don Brown has been here, you have a number of guys with their back turned to the quarterback because they're defending the receivers. And if the pass rush doesn't get home, the quarterback can squirt out, and all of a sudden now there's nobody accounting for him. Michigan has to have that guy. And I love the fact that Cam McGrone over the last couple of weeks has showed us his speed, has showed us his ability to track down quarterbacks, force fumbles, get after the quarterback in the pocket. I like that, and I hope that, you know, we see more of that when we hit the Happy Valley. We mentioned Noah Kane. He's their leading rusher, 310 yards, and he's got a long of 27. But I go down the list and I look at their rushing attack. We mentioned Noah Kane and Sean Clifford, but it goes Journey Brown, Ricky Slade. Slade was a guy coming into the season that they thought that they can count on. He hasn't been productive. So it's really just between Noah Kane, Journey Brown, and every once in a while you'll see Devin Ford. But Journey Brown and Devin Ford have both run for about 220 yards. They also both have an 85-yard run and an 81-yard run, respectively. You take that out, and they've been relatively ineffective. So if Michigan can lock down that rushing attack and force Sean Clifford to stay in the pocket, become a passer, I like the advantage that we have on the outside. Now, KJ Hamler is a very good receiver, sophomore. He leads the team with 455 yards right now. He's got five touchdowns. I like LaVert Hill being out there. I like Ambry Thomas, Vincent Gray. That matchup, I think, favors Michigan. So if we can make Penn State be a one-dimensional team, force them into third and long situations and make them throw the football, that will be an advantage for Michigan.
Number three, flip it over. Penn State's defense, they're second nationally at just a sliver over 8 points a game. Again, not a terrorizing schedule so far outside of the trip to Iowa. But give us your thoughts on the Penn State D and what Michigan's offense can do to have success against it.
Well, the strength of this defense is in their front seven. And Michigan's going to have to find a way to protect Shea Patterson and try and open up holes for whether it's Hassan Haskins or any other running back that we give the ball to. Zach Charbonnet would be a great option. But Micah Parsons, a linebacker, their leading tackler, I mentioned it already, he's a sophomore. He's a guy that came to Penn State as a defensive end, a guy with his hand in the ground. Last year, they moved him to linebacker, and he was making plays just on natural ability. This year, he is recognizing things a little bit quicker and making plays as a guy who has now played that position for 2 years. He's got one sack. But then you look at their defensive front, their front seven. Yoder Gross-Matos is a guy that is aggressive. He leads the team right now with 5.5 sacks. Actually, he's tied with Shaka Toney. They both have 5.5 sacks. So it's going to be up to our offensive tackles to make sure that they use good technique, they use their hands, they rely on that technique in an environment where they're not going to hear the snap count. They're not going to hear Shea Patterson clap his hands. They're not going to hear a lot of things. So they got to make sure that they're honed in, they move when the ball moves, and they use good technique when they're blocking those two guys. But that's the strength of their defense.
Number four on today's 7 from 77, Josh Gattis, Michigan's offensive coordinator. He knows James Franklin very well. He was with Franklin at Vanderbilt in 2012 and 2013, made the jump with Franklin when he went to Penn State. For the first four seasons, Gattis was on his staff before the one-year run at Alabama, and then Gattis coming now to Ann Arbor for 2019. How does that relationship and the potential game plan advantages or disadvantages factor into Saturday's matchup?
Well, they can use that in a number of different ways. I'm sure that Josh Gattis has talked to Don Brown and shared some of the tendencies that this offense will have, some of the things that they like to do at home, maybe they can't, you know, take advantage of on the road, and that being Penn State. And when it comes down to personality, you know, what type of personality will this team have? Josh Gattis was there when a lot of these guys were recruited. So when he looks at a guy like Micah Parsons or Yoder Gross-Matos or Shaka Toney, he will be able to relay to his offense, hey, this is what these guys like to do. This is you know, where they are their strengths are, and here's some of their weaknesses. We have to try and attack those weaknesses and make them part of what we do as an offensive game plan.
Number five, in some of these big Michigan road games as of late, Wisconsin this year, remember that Penn State game 2 years ago in Happy Valley, Michigan fell into a big hole, never recovered. It's easy to say that's a point of emphasis, a fast start. How can Michigan work on that, whether it's something in practice or even something just mental, kind of having a conversation before you get to that point to make sure you're ready for, let's face it, the emotion in a big game like that, in a big stadium like that. Opposing teams experience it when they come to Ann Arbor, and Michigan will have to combat it going to Happy Valley.
Well, in every game, there's momentum swings, and Michigan has to find a way to not get too high at the peaks and not get too low at the valleys, and not have that little voice in the back of your head when something goes wrong that says, oh, here, you know, this is happening again. You've got to fight through that, and to do that, you've got to be able to start fast. Well, you know, how do you do that? If the defense is on the field first, they have to be aggressive. We've seen them do that. We know they can do it. They're going to get after the quarterback. They're going to get after the run game. They've got to shut it down and start fast. If the offense is out there, I loved the way Michigan started last week, and that was with a drive, no passes. They just hit somebody in the mouth. They opened holes, whether it was for Zach Charbonnet, Hassan Haskins, True Wilson. We saw him making some moves out there. But make sure that you let them know this is going to be a physical game, and you have to let them know from the first snap to the last. But there's nothing more important than that first time that you go out on the field, whether it's offense or defense, of setting the tone for the game. And then it comes down to protecting things, protecting the quarterback, protecting the football, making sure that you don't give them extra possessions. You don't give them some of those momentum swings that they didn't earn by laying the ball on the ground or throwing an interception. Those are things that Michigan has done, you know, previously this football season, but they have a chance to correct it against Penn State.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Number six, you've given us a lot of great information. If you had to boil it down, the biggest key Saturday night for the Wolverines is?
It's turnovers. And it's the same thing I said against Wisconsin. It's the same thing I said against Iowa. It will be the number one thing this entire football season. We have talent. We have the ability to score points, but we can't do it if we don't have the ball. So offensively, protect the football. It is more important to possess the football and not get a first down than it is to try and reach out or try and do something, you know, extra human to be able to get that first down. But if you lay the ball on the ground, now all of a sudden they have momentum. They've got, you know, everything that they want, field position. Possess the football. And then on defense, it's generate those turnovers. We saw it against Iowa. We have the ability to do that. Four turnovers against a very good quarterback, a much more seasoned quarterback in Nate Stanley than there is in Sean Clifford. So we have a chance to go out there, confuse him and the looks that they give, get after the quarterback, put pressure on him. And it's, I think one of the keys will be putting pressure on Sean Clifford. If we can do that with only rushing four guys, that's where Iowa was very successful defensively. They had the ability to put pressure on Sean Clifford by rushing four guys, dropping seven. He had nowhere to throw the football. The conditions weren't conducive to throwing the football, and he had to take some sacks. I think Iowa ended up with three sacks in that game. That is what is a game plan for victory for Michigan.
And finally, number seven, if you've listened to this podcast, to the pregame shows over the years, you know John Jansen and James Franklin are slightly different in how they attack everything that they ever do in their entire lives. John, James Franklin, what comes to mind when you hear that name, other than that noise?
A big sigh, because you know what? There's one thing when you compete against somebody who is, you know, they do everything the right way. I'm not saying he does anything the wrong way, but he just doesn't do it the way I would want to do it. He, you know, he's a front runner. He's a guy that gets out in front and he's cheering his team on when things are great. And when things go bad, it seems like he's always pointing the finger anywhere but himself. Michigan is about accountability. Our guys go out there, and if we make a mistake, hey, we own up to it. If we do something good, we do it as a team. We do it as a unit. We have success as a team, and that's the difference between Michigan and Penn State right now.
Speaking of adjustments needed, as you've clearly indicated that maybe James Franklin needs to go through some, per finedininglovers.com, bacon is consumed at breakfast an average of 12 times per person per year.
That's it?
Once a month? Come on.
That's disappointing. We already have covered the fact that that bacon makes you smarter. So if you want to be smarter, send your kids off in the morning with some bacon and eggs, maybe an English muffin. Take a little of that bacon grease, dip an English muffin into it, and all of that nutrition, all of that every day will soak into those little young minds, and we'll have more great Wolverines. And the graduation rate, all of those things that we express here at Michigan will be better.
I had an English muffin for the first time last week in a long time. Underrated breakfast option. They're great. I forget how good they are.
So here's what you got to do. And I'm almost positive you didn't do this. You have to have it. All right. You cook your bacon. You put it on a little, you know, some paper towel so that when you eat the bacon, you're not eating all the grease. But you take the grease that it left in the pan. And you, instead of toasting your English muffin, you put it, you know, face down. And you let it toast a little bit and soak up some of that. You don't need butter. You don't need jam. All you need is some good bacon grease, and it gets in those nooks and crannies. It's like a sponge, and it just soaks it right up. And then you eat it with your bacon and eggs. It's like, I mean, it's like a bacon crouton.
So you put the English muffin opposite down on the pan after you finish cooking the bacon.
Absolutely, wow. Yeah. I mean, the English muffin, you know, you slice it in half, the open face. You put it down, soak it up, and yummy, yummy.
Man. We should start doing cooking advice, too. That'd be a nice transition. But, yeah, if that doesn't get you fired up, the fact that people only eat bacon once a month on average, I think these interviews will.
Yeah, it's disappointing that that's the stat. But what's not disappointing is Hassan Haskins, leading rusher last week, as well as Michael Dana, who made the play of the game, forcing the fumble that Carlo Kemp got, sealing the victory for Michigan. Both of those guys are up next. Joined by Mike Dana, grad transfer this year, defensive lineman. Now let's go back to your last 4 years. You were at Central Michigan, defensive lineman of the year, and you got all the honors. What went into the decision to transfer before your fifth year?
A lot went into it, you know. Being at an institution for the last 4 years, you know, you build a lot of a good resume there. You know a lot of people. You know the whole town. And just, you know, moving on and trying to make a new chapter in your life, it was tough. But, you know, yeah, I do what's best for me. And coming here to Ann Arbor is probably one of the best decisions I've made in my whole lifetime.
What's the transition been like for you? Because before we went on, I asked you when you got here. It was at the end of May. And you go from the relationships that you build over 4 years of being at Central Michigan to not coming in as a freshman, but coming in as a new face to a team. What have some of the challenges been for you?
Really, my teammates really opened the door for me. So, like, I haven't really faced any, like, challenges that made me, like, step out of my character because, mm-hmm. like, my teammates made the whole transition 10 times easier for me. They opened the door as soon as I came, had open arms for me, and it really just made me feel like this was another place from home. So,
everybody always looks to the upperclassmen for leadership. How has it been coming in as, you know, a guy that's going to be here a year, a fifth-year guy? You've had a lot of great experiences, yet, again, you're building new relationships and still trying to be that leader that an upperclassman can be. How's that transition been for you?
You know, just being a veteran guy that comes along with the game and comes along with your personality. You've been in the game for 4 or 5 years, and at this point you kind of know certain styles and what's going on or what's going to take place. So kind of being that leadership role, just trying to lead when I can and hold guys accountable, and I expect guys to hold me accountable too. So, you know, it's just holding each other accountable so we can get to the end goal.
How different has it been in this style of defense, or how long did it take up to pick up the Don Brown defense? Because, like, we'll have this conversation a number of times over this year. You're not coming in as a freshman, so your experience mm-hmm. is a lot more than a high school senior coming in. Mm-hmm. Yet I know that Don Brown's defense has a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lot faster. You got to be quick. He like fast guys, so, you know, everything's just always at the snap of your fingers, and you just got to keep moving, be aggressive at all times. And, you know, the defense is great. I love being part of this defense, and it's an honor to be a part of Don Brown's defense because, like I said, it's about physicality, aggressiveness, being quick, being relentless, and it's just like that every single time the whistle blow.
What's it been like for you being in the Big House? Because you grew up in Detroit, right?
Yep.
You're a Detroit kid.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a Michigan fan growing up?
Yep.
So now you get an opportunity to play in the Big House. What's it been like for you on a personal side?
It's crazy, you know. It's just like you've been looking up to it as a kid and all throughout high school, just watching the games on Saturday, just wishing and hoping that one day you can play in a place as big or even as close as big of a place like that.
And, you know, it's been an honor to be here. It's been an honor to play on that field. And all the guys, all respect to the guys before me that have played on that field. It's a true honor, and I love it.
You know, you got here in May, and you'll graduate or you'll be done playing football for Michigan, hopefully a couple weeks into January. How fast has this gone for you?
It's been crazy fast. You know, it feels like I just got here a week ago. You know, 1 minute is May, then the summer go by in a snap in the fingers, fall camp go by in a snap. Then we're already halfway to the season. So, you know, just trying to, like, enjoy the most out of all these opportunities, you know, because it's coming to an end, unfortunately. So I'm just trying to make the most out of it, out of every opportunity I get with my teammates, with my coaches, with everybody.
The transfer situation is something that's different from when I played, which was a long time ago, now 25 years ago. But how, in your opinion, guy that went through the grad transfer process, how has it changed from a player's perspective, just the mobility of players? How has it changed your mindset of some of these guys that are playing at schools right now that they may not finish at?
Right. The whole process is kind of stressful, but at the same time, you got to realize, like, it's no fun and games. It's strictly business because you're trying to find what destination is going to be yours so you can, you know, maximize your ability and your football performance and, you know, just trying to pan out which schools can benefit you more or which institutions can help you educationally if you're going in that direction. So, you know, just trying to look at it in the business aspect and, you know, kind of is different from when you're a freshman or incoming freshman because, you know, you get to recruit all these schools and stuff and you base it off like kind of like a lot of the fandom and a lot of the recruiting process. But like as a fifth year, you're strictly business. You know, there's no fun in games. There's no, you know, doing anything extra for recruiting. You just trying to find out which is the best place for you, you know.
Football aside for just a minute, what did Michigan offer you as a grad that brought you to Michigan?
They offered me social work, so I got my undergrad in entrepreneurship and marketing. And for my master's right now, I'm doing social work, and it's a whole lot of interesting things going on in this world that we talk about in them classes and them lectures that was way more interesting than I thought it was going to be. So that really got me on, like, a string. So, like, I like the classes, I like the programs, so the professors are great, treat me well, and, you know, like I said, we talk about a lot of things that's going on in this world today, and it's really interesting.
When football is done, whether it's this year or if it's 10 or 15 years from now, what do you want to be doing?
I want to have a little sports program for inner city kids in Detroit, kind of like a youth program, whether it's football, basketball, and kind of just have like a foundation where like kids could come there, raise money for the kids, and, you know, have like a little camp yearly around so they can come, whether it's, like I said, football, basketball, soccer, and just play, make friends, and, you know, enjoy the sport.
When you think back to your opportunity to play, you know, sports as a kid, whether it was football, basketball, whatever it was you were into, it's different now. And I'm sure this is one of the things you guys had talked about is a lot of these schools, you know, kids have to pay to play. When you think back to the opportunities you had, what did youth sports provide for you?
You know, it provided me the love of the game. And that, I feel like that's one of the most important things from playing sports. If you don't love the game, then, you know, you're kind of out there messing around and you're not really taking it serious. But when you develop a love for a game, whether it's football, basketball, soccer, baseball, when you love something, you're going to do it and you're going to give it your utmost ability and effort and all that. So, you know, that's what I really take from my youth sports. I played a lot of sports. My first sport was soccer. Didn't really love it. So I did that for a year. I tried baseball, did that for a year, didn't really love it. So it came to football, and I did football my freshman year in high school for the first time, and I've been with it ever since.
You've seen a lot of changes downtown. How have youth sports changed down in Detroit?
I think it's becoming more of a wide variety of things. You know, a lot more kids are getting affiliated with it. It's just a lot of positives going into that field where you get what you put in type deal. So, you know, you put in a lot for the kids going to get a lot more out of it. And I feel like that's the most important thing, just so the young adults can get the most out of it and, you know, just find their love for the game.
When let's get back to the football side of things, what are your goals or what were your goals coming into this football season individually, and where do you think you're at halfway through the season?
Mm-hmm. Well, my goals were just to be the best football player I can be for this team, whether it's on the field, off the field, just be a person that can hold people accountable, people hold me accountable, respect the game, and be coachable and just be understanding. And, you know, I feel like I'm at a good point right now. Since I've been here, I feel like I've been coachable. You know, I don't ever try to give nobody a hard time. I don't ever try to, you know, act like I've been there or act like I know all everything. You know, I don't ever try to be like that. I try to be humble and, you know, just respect the game, like I said, because you never know when the game can be taken away from you. So, you know, I just try to stay on top of my keys, do what I'm supposed to be where I'm supposed to be, and just try to do the most I can do.
The game has so many ebbs and flows and plays that make a difference. And you had one of the biggest plays of the season so far against Illinois. Forced a fumble at the end of the game where Carlo Kemp, you know, was able to recover it. We go in and score. And in a moment like that, what goes through your mind?
That it's great to be on this team. Yeah. God is good, you know. Just all the hard work pays off, and you just got to keep pushing the extra mile no matter what. You fall 8 times, get up a 9th. Fall 9 times, get up a 10th. So you just got to keep going, you know. You never know what can happen or what play can change the game, and you just got to give it your all.
We have obviously time as perspective now, but we look back and the Wisconsin game wasn't the best performance for Michigan football. But since that time, the defense has been rocking and rolling. What do you think has been the biggest change over the last 3 weeks?
Execution, just everybody playing their roles, filling in their gaps. Nobody, you know, stepping out of place, stepping out of character to do too much. Everybody's just doing what they're supposed to do. Just following, believing what Coach Harbaugh has to say, believing what Coach Brown has to say, and believing all the position coaches, because, you know, they're going to put us all in the right direction. We just got to execute. And, you know, since that Wisconsin game, I feel like our team been hitting a new stride and defense been playing great, and we got to finish out the season like that.
You had a chance to go on the road and get a win against Illinois down in Champaign. Now it's a little bit different going to Happy Valley. What have you seen from Penn State so far from their offense?
A lot of RPOs, run. We got to stop the run. Eventually, you got to get after the quarterback. But main thing, always, every single game, stop the run and execute when we need to, you know.
Sean Clifford, their quarterback, is their second leading rusher right now. How difficult is it to defend a guy that – no matter what you do in the secondary, you might not give him anywhere to throw the ball to. You guys are getting after him, but he can tuck it and run it. What type of challenge does that provide you guys as a defensive line?
Yeah, I mean, that's a different – it's a different challenge you go into a different week with, because, you know, not too many quarterbacks are the second leading rusher on the team. You know, it's always either two of the second-string running back or third-string running back, even that. But, you know, it just opened up a wider challenge for us, and – we just got to stand up to a challenge, to face adversity, and, you know, stand up to that too. You know, you test a man by adversity, and we just got to work hard, prepare this week, and like I said, just do what we're supposed to do on the field and take care of business.
When you made the decision to come to Michigan, obviously you'd looked at the schedule. The game that we're about to go to, Penn State, it's going to be a whiteout. It's a night game. I mean, all of the things that make it a big game are going to be there. How do you prepare for these games, and how do you help the young guys grasp the magnitude of the situation they're going to be in?
Just stay poised, you know. Just try to, you know, like I said, do what you're coached to do. Like, we don't need no superhuman effort to beat Penn State. We just need everybody to do their 1-11th. You know, it's another football game. It's another faceless opponent. So we got to come in here and just play our game, you know. Whether it's offense and defense, we just got to play our best football, regardless of who we're playing.
When you look at this game and you look at the buildup to it, it's just, you know, how do you handle yourself, the excitement, yet still trying to make sure that you're focused and preparing for it, but still enjoy it? Because we had already talked about how this year's going so fast. You got to still enjoy being a football player in these matchups?
Yeah, you know, I just try to take it one day at a time, and that's all I can do. I don't really try to look past for the future or dwell about the past. You know, I just try to take it one day at a time. You know, I stay poised in situations like this because, you know, the blood's already boiling for Saturday because it's already Monday and you play 5 days from now, blood's boiling already. So, you know, it's only like a low simmer right now. So,
when you think about the offense that Penn State has, it's very similar to the one that Michigan is running now with Josh Gattis as offensive coordinator. How does that help you guys prepare for seeing what you're going to see in Happy Valley?
Yeah, you know, practicing against it all fall camp and to this day, you know, it helps us a lot. We're more prepared than what we were. And, you know, we're all fired up to go down there. We got to execute when we need to. Practice this week is going to be as serious as a heart attack. So, you know, we just got to do what we have to do, focus on our keys, and just be where we're supposed to be and fill in our gaps. And when opportunity presents ourselves, we got to cash it in.
Well, Mike, I appreciate your time, and we appreciate you being here for your fifth year.
Thank you.
Best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Hassan Haskins joins us on In the Trenches. Hassan, you're coming off a career day for you against Illinois.
Yeah.
What's it feel like to have a day like that?
You know, it's always a good feeling, especially with the team win. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's always a nice feeling to go out and do what you was trained to do since the beginning. So, you know.
When you look at the ability, you had 12 carries, 125 yards. You averaged over 10 yards a carry. First touchdown. First of all, how did it feel to get in the end zone?
I've been waiting on this touchdown for a minute. You know, it's a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Did you have a touchdown dance?
I mean, I was thinking about it, but I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. So,
For guys like us, I was offensive lineman and always had a dream of doing a touchdown dance. Never had that opportunity, so we got to live vicariously through you guys.
Yeah.
When you think about the ability to – or the opportunity to go from, you know, 2 carries, 9 carries, and then all of a sudden you get 12, what do you think has been the difference over the, you know, the previous games where you were able to get the opportunity last week?
I've just been trying to stay focused on the plays that I get into. Like, you know, just do my job exactly how they wanted to do and just practice, just go hard. Every practice I told myself – talk to my family, just be like, I just need to work harder, you know, simple as that. Just,
how hard was it last year? I know you redshirted. You had a chance to play in a couple of games, but what was going through your mind last year and then this offseason and preparing for the opportunity to get on the field?
I've just been preparing like crazy, like workouts, meetings, practice. Just everything just go hard, twice as hard. This last year, you know, I didn't get the chance to play as how I want to, but so I just practice, stay focused this whole season.
What went well for you against Illinois?
I mean, just giant holes. My offensive line created them,
and makes it easy, doesn't it?
Makes it real easy. So yeah.
If there was one thing that you would want to improve on between last week's game against Illinois and this week's game against Penn State, just individually, what would it be?
Just working on my second level moves and try to get my speed a little up some, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm just focused on that in these practices. So
I know you mentioned the second level moves, and I remember I think it was the Rutgers game where it was like a 15-yard carry and you got tackled at about the 2-yard line. The difference when I saw you against Illinois, it felt like you were more comfortable in the open field. Is that just come with experience?
Yeah, and I just felt like I just got to be myself. Mm-hmm. Like, that's go along with, like, being focused during practice and stuff and just execute my job. So, you know.
When you talk about being yourself, what style of runner do you feel you are?
I mean, I feel like I'm everything for real. Speed, power. You know, I got a little juke move, so, mm-hmm. you know, I just got to – keep working on that, like how I did in high school. So,
last year you got a chance to watch Caron. What did you learn from a guy like Caron Higdon?
He used to tell me just like stay focused. You know, you never know when you can go in, and you know just do your job to the best of your ability. You know, he always told me that, so I stay.
When you think about playing Penn State at night, I know you weren't there a couple of years ago to see the whiteout. What have your teammates told you about what to expect?
A lot of guys told me that it's crazy. You know, that's probably like a couple of them said that's one of the craziest games, loudest games they've been to. So I'm looking forward to it, you know. Still going to be me, so.
Mm-hmm. A big environment. How do you approach a game like Penn State when you know that it's a nationally televised game, most of them are anymore, but all the eyes are going to be on Michigan and Penn State watching what you guys do?
Well, I tell myself, I just try to block out the crowd mm-hmm. and all the outside noise and just stay focused, you know. Just do my job and do it great, you know. So I just try to block out every extra noise. So
when you watch film, and I know it's early in the week and you haven't really had a chance to see too much of Penn State, but when you think of Penn State, you think of this game, what comes to mind in terms of their defense?
I think it's going to be a good fight against mm-hmm. Penn State, you know. So I'm just looking forward to just doing my job, you know, and just, you know, see how it goes. So
are these the games that you look forward to when you're in high school and you commit to Michigan, you think about these games?
Yeah, of course. You know, I always watch these type of games. You know, it's always a fun environment. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's always good to play in a good environment like that. So
what's your mindset moving forward from not just the offense and you know, trying to take the next step offensively, but for you moving forward against Penn State, even throughout the second half of the year, what's the mindset now that you've had a game like you had against Illinois?
My mindset just that I tell myself that I know I can do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I just got to keep doing it every game, you know, just keep pounding just like that. So.
Well, best of luck on Saturday night.
Appreciate that.
It will be a fun environment. So
mm-hmm.
wish you luck. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks to Michael Dana and Hassan Haskins for stopping by again. Big plays by both, and we will rely on both of them on Saturday in Happy Valley. We thank them, and we want to thank you for downloading the podcast and listening. Make sure you like, subscribe, review. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, and we will continue to give you all that we can about Michigan football. And we have a new segment that we want to share with you called Fourth and Short. Brian, what does Fourth and Short mean to you?
Well, Fourth and Short, I know how important it was for you in your playing career when whatever coach you had, whether it was high school, college, the pros, fourth and short, give it to the running back, let the offensive line grind out a first down. So we're going to have four topics that we didn't touch on earlier in the podcast to finish things off before, of course, the locker room speech, which is to come. First thing up on fourth and short, we talked a little bit earlier about getting ready for improvement in road atmospheres, how that's, you know, it's a unique thing to try to practice for that or mentally get going for that. How about when it comes to fumbles with this team? That has been one of the more perplexing storylines for this team this season. We all know it's a point of emphasis, but give fans an idea of some of the drills, some of the things that the team will do to try to, other than just say, hey, we can't turn the ball over. How do they work on stuff like that?
Well, this is where your practice team and the demo squad, the look squad, whatever you want to call them, becomes vitally important. They get the team ready to play on Saturday. And when any time a guy is running around, whether it's a running back, quarterback, wide receiver, anybody that has the ball in their hands, they need to have somebody, and this is happening, that is running by trying to knock the ball out. And it could be, hey, in the middle of a play, running back, you know, True Wilson going through the line of scrimmage, everybody taking a shot at the football. If it's a receiver, as soon as he catches it, making sure you're slapping at the football. A quarterback, when he's in the pocket, you don't want to hit him. You don't want to hit his arm while he's throwing the ball. But when he's running around, take a swipe at that ball. Anytime it would be a surprise, even if a guy is standing on the sidelines, they need to make sure that they have the ball high and tight. They're securing the football. Go ahead and try and knock that ball out. That's going on, and it has improved, but it needs the turnover category needs to be a zero for Michigan. You cannot have turnovers and think you're going to beat teams like Penn State, Michigan State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, all of the tough teams that we have coming up at the end of our schedule. Hold on to the football.
Something we didn't talk about a ton on our postgame show, and I take the blame for that as the producer of this thing, so my condolences. To me, the play of the game this past Saturday against Illinois, that Shea fourth down run, at least offensively it was the play of the game, It's a 28-25 game. Michigan then goes down a couple of plays later and scores the touchdown that puts them up by 10, and then the defense comes out and finishes off the Illini. Shea hasn't taken maybe as big of a step as people thought he would at this stage of this season, but he's tough, he's a leader, he's a great teammate, and that was huge.
It was, and actually Coach Harbaugh mentioned it in the post-game interview. I asked him about those fourth and short situations, and he talked about Shea Patterson being able to convert that when it didn't even look like there was something there. He put his head down. He made something happen. He picked up the first down, and that is the difference between where Michigan was against Iowa in that third and long situation where they were backed up inside their own 20. They didn't convert. They came up a yard short, and it was a matter of one block, or as a matter of just Shea Patterson and saying, you know what, I'm not coming up short on this. Fast forward to Illinois. All of a sudden, they're in that fourth and two situation, and he's got to find a way to get a first down. He keeps the ball, runs around right end, and finds a way to pick up that first down. You're right. He is tough. He is what Michigan needs right now in regards to a leader on the field. Now he has to go out there and show and put it together, just like Jim Harbaugh, just like Shea Patterson, just like this offensive line, the rushing attack, the defense against a good team on the road.
Number three, kicking game. People obviously wondering how this rotation will continue to evolve as the season goes. Quinn Nordine has yet to make a field goal. What do you think the Wolverines will do with the kicking game? Will it be any different moving forward?
Well, I mean, you'd be foolish to say that when you look at what Jake Moody has done over the course of his career. And I even go back to last year where against Indiana, he kicked six field goals to win the game. He has been a guy that we've been able to rely on. Now, I know he missed one against Iowa, but he, you know, has always been a guy that has been very reliable. So I think when the game is on the line, I would be shocked to see anybody in there but Jake Moody. Doesn't mean that, you know, when we get those 55-yard attempts that Quinn Nordine doesn't go out there, or in those extra points or some shorter field goals, he may still get that opportunity. But for me, Jake Moody is the guy that has been more reliable, more consistent, more accurate, and has put points on the board.
And finally, Penn State, it's one of the toughest places to play in college football. Is it your top spot road venue-wise in the Big Ten? Give us your top five in terms of atmospheres and environments for a road game for the Wolverines.
Ooh, my top five venues for road victories are going down to Columbus and spanking the Buckeyes, knocking them around. There's a special feeling, you know, when you get a chance to play against Ohio State in the horseshoe and get a victory. That is something that I want for this Michigan football team. We won't have that opportunity this year, but every chance you get to go to Columbus, it needs to be a victory. Second is going to Madison, Wisconsin. I love going there because the food is good, the fans are classy, and it's a great environment to play a game in. Then you go to Iowa City. Same thing. I love classy individuals, and Iowa City has always been one of those areas, one of those venues where you go, you get a chance to wave at the kids that are in the children's hospital and have a good time doing it, coming away with a victory. And then who doesn't love going to East Lansing and getting a victory? Whenever you get a chance to score a touchdown, make a big play, and that whole stadium goes silent, it's amazing. And then all of a sudden you head east and you go to State College and they're all hyped up because, hey, we got a night game. This is special. This is something that we don't get to do very often. Hey, we might be good. You know what? You smack them in the mouth and you tell them you're not as good as Michigan. I don't care how much white shirts you have in the stadium. I don't care if you sing Sweet Caroline 100 times. We're coming away with a victory. One of the greatest victories I've ever been a part of was in 97. We went down there. Glenn Steele breaks through the line of scrimmage, tackles the running back. That game was over in the first play, and that needs to be what happens this week against Penn State.
That wasn't your locker room speech, was it?
No, it wasn't my locker room speech. My locker room speech is yet to come, but tell you what, you got me fired up.
Let's go. It's time, John. Fourth and short is over. You plunged into the end zone. Now give us what you got. Get us pumped up. Saturday, College Game Day's there. It's the Big Ten East. It's Michigan and Penn State. Give it to us.
Men, if you want to win a championship, this year it has to go through State College. I don't care how many white shirts there are. A whiteout, it doesn't matter. The environment shouldn't matter. Use that environment to fire you up because there's nothing greater. There's no sound greater than when you make a big hit, you make a big play. There's a touchdown. There's a score. Anything good that happens for Michigan than to hear that sweet silence in that erector set they call the stadium. You take that over. State College becomes Ann Arbor of the East. There is nothing that James Franklin can do to you while you're on that field. There is nothing that Sean Clifford, that Yoder Grossmatos can do to you on that field. You are in control of your destiny. So when you look across that line and you see that number 11, just as I did when I was playing, whether it was LeVar Arrington or it's Micah Parsons, you hit him right between the numbers and you tell him that it is Michigan coming with the victory today. And you tell him that today is the day that Michigan reclaims dominance in the Big Ten East. You want to check off every box, beat a ranked team, beat a good team, beat somebody on the road. When there's nobody in the stadium that feels you can win this game, there are thousands upon thousands of Michigan fans that have your back. Alumni, football alumni, they want nothing more than to see Michigan win this game. They want nothing more than to see Shea Patterson, John Runyon, Carlo Kemp, and Cam McGrone, and sing the victors in that giant Beaver Stadium. So when you're on your way home, after listening to this podcast, you get home and you give your wife a little peck on the cheek. You give your husband a little peck on the cheek and take little James, pat him on the head. Little Ruby, pat her on the head. And you tell him before they go to bed, go Blue. We'll talk to you next time on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.